And as we think about Thanksgiving and think about being thankful, I'd like to give you something that I believe is one of the top things that we ought to be thankful for, and something that we should never take for granted any day of our life. And if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Job, chapter number 31, Job and chapter number 31, Job chapter 31. And once you've found it, in honor of God's word, let's stand as we read Job chapter number 31. And I'd like you to look down there in verse number 35, Job chapter 31 and verse number 35. The Bible says, "Oh, that one would hear me." Now, Job is talking here. He says, "Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me." I want to bring you a message today with this title, "Job Had No Bible." Job had no Bible. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this message has been in my heart for some time. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me. Lord, I need you now. Strengthen me, Father. Give me the words that I need. I pray, Father, that we would understand and realize all that has gone in to having a Bible, to having the Word of God sitting on our laps today. Father, may we never take it for granted that we have something that we can go to every day for encouragement, for hope, to know what to do. Father, I pray that you'd help us to remember this today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Most of you know the story of Job, and you know all that Job went through. Job is considered by commentators and scholars to be the oldest book in the Bible. It was the first book that was ever written in the Bible. Many men even speculate that the Job of Genesis chapter 46 may be the same Job that's referred to in the book of Job. Whether that's the case or not, I do not know, but if Job was the first book ever written, then obviously there was no books of the Bible written before that time. Job was going through a very tough time in his life. You understand, Job was a very righteous, a very upright man, one that feared God. And yet God allowed the devil to come and literally pull the rug out of Job's feet, and allowed everything to be taken away from Job in just a very short time. In just a matter of hours' time, he lost his livelihood, he lost his children, he lost his health, and basically all that Job was left with was a bitter wife that could think of nothing else but to curse God and die. And you know, sometimes in life, we reach points in our life where sometimes it would just be better to die. David said in the Psalms, he says, "Oh, that I would have wings, that I would fly away and be at rest." How many times do we go through life and face struggles and health problems and financial problems and death in the family and things that are just literally hardships in our life, and we just wish that like David said, we just wish that we could have wings and just fly away from our problems. But Job, all the things that he went through and all the difficulties he went through, and as you read through the book of Job, I was reading Job in my Bible reading this morning, and as you read through the book of Job, you have Job, and be very careful when you judge Job and a lot of the things that he says, because really when you understand where Job's coming from, you have to understand Job had nothing to turn to. He had no source of encouragement. He had no answers. He didn't know why things were going. That's why many times as you read through Job, you see a man that is very unsettled. You see a man that is very unsure. You see a man that is trying to find out why his life has been turned inside out. Trying to find out why living a perfect and upright life and living a life that's fearing God and living a life that is doing right and living a life that is going in the right direction, why would God allow all of that to change? Why would God take my family from me? Why would God take my health from me? Why would God take my prosperity from me? Why would God allow all of this to happen to me? And all through the book of Job, Job is asking question after question, Lord, is it something that I have done? Is it something that I have sinned? Is there some evil that has come upon me? And then you have Job's friends that come along and they are the encouragers. They are the ones that's going to sit down with Job and try to help Job find out why this is happening to him, because they said, you know, Job, nothing happens like this unless you've done something wrong. And so Job is trying to find out, God, why in the world have you let this happen to me? And Job comes to a point in his life, and you reach this point here in chapter 31, and he just, he's been talking to his friends, and his friends have been listening to him, and yet his friends at the same time, their counsel and their advice has really done nothing to solve his problem, has done nothing to alleviate his pain. And Job comes to a point in his life where he says, oh, that one would hear me. Oh, that one would really hear the inside of my heart and hear the burden of my heart. Oh, that one would hear me. He says, behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me. You ever go through times in your life where it doesn't seem like God is answering you? You go through the book of Job and chapter after chapter after chapter, Job is asking question after question, trying to find out why is God allowing this in my life and why is God bringing this in my life and what have I done? And God never answers him until all the way at the end. He says, oh, my desire is that God would just answer me, that God would tell me why. That God would tell me why I'm going through these things. That God would tell me why this is happening to me. I remember the year before I came back on furlough, back in 2009. I had taken a group of guys and we were going to start a new church out on the islands of Lake Victoria. And you have to take a ferry over to the islands over there, and we'd never been there to preach. I'd crossed over there and looked around, but we had never been there to have a preaching point or soul winning or anything like that. And so the guys got together and said, "Hey, we want you. Let's go across there and let's see what we can do about starting a church over there." And so we left early one Saturday morning and got into my van. We went out. We caught the ferry and crossed over the lake there into the islands. And we got over there. We met with some people, went soul winning all afternoon and gathered a bunch of people together in one of the believers' house there and preached. And as a result of that preaching there, we had the opportunity of seeing 10 people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We were so excited about that. We were rejoicing. We were, man, this is the start of a church and start of a group of people. We had a guy in our church who, by the way, was a cripple boy. I mean, he comes to our service all the time. I say he's a boy. He came to our church as a boy. He's a man now, but he literally crawls to our church every single service. And he came to me one day. He says, Pastor, he says, I believe God wants me to go there and start a church. And right now, as we speak, that man crawls to the taxi, and that taxi takes him to the ferry. He crawls onto the ferry. He crawls off the ferry, gets another taxi, and he goes out there and preaches every single month to those people there. But we were coming back that night, and it was a little late. Of course, we do not like to drive in the dark there, but because of the time of the ferry crossing and stuff, we came back, and it was dark, and we were on dirt roads coming back. We were rejoicing, giving testimonies about what had happened there. There was about 9-10 of us in the van, and coming back through there, and as I was coming down the road, had two bicycles coming the opposite way. They had just got through harvesting their coffee, and so their bicycles were full of coffee and riding back. And for some reason, I do not understand the reason why, but they were on my side of the road. And so I started to get over, and I got over as far as I could. But as I started getting over, they started getting over. And I ended up hitting both of them and killing one instantly. In Uganda, you do not stop. If I would have stopped, and I talked to our men to make sure of this, because my inclination and my desire is to stop and help or try to get somebody to the hospital or something, but they said, "Pastor, do not stop. We need to go to the next police station. If we stop, they will stone our vehicle." And so we drove to the next police station and reported the incident there, and they said, you have committed a crime, and you have killed some people, and the police went out there to look at it, and they came back, and of course, any time that the police there can get one up on an American, you know, they try to push their authority around and begin to come back and tell me that I killed two people, and how could they do that to the Ugandan people? And I'm just feeling the worst that I've ever felt in my life. And they says, "Well, you know, we don't have the head policeman here, and it's a weekend, and so we have to put you in jail." And so my wife came and got all my belongings and went back in that prison cell, and there's a prison cell back there, just a concrete floor in the room back there, about 10 by 10. There was already 9 guys in there, and went in there and sat on the floor. And I remember asking God, "Why? We just saw 10 people saved. You're doing a great thing here. God, why would you let this happen?" And I remember sitting there literally all night in that jail, wondering what was going to happen to me and wondering how this thing was going to turn out and wondering what is going on. And I remember sitting there with that feeling, and I can kind of understand a little bit about what Job says, that if just the Almighty would answer me, if God would just tell me why this is happening. I did not know that the man that I had killed when I had ran over him, his wife, was a born-again Christian. I met her the next week, and I was very nervous about that, and they cleared me. The inspector went out there and found out it was an accident. And so I met with the widow's wife, and she came to me, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I want you to understand, I have nothing against you at all, but," she says, "I have two requests." And I said to myself, "All right, how much do you want?" She said, "Pastor, I have two requests." She says, "One," she says, "is there any way that you can get me a Bible?" I said, "Wow, I think I can do that." And she said, "Number two," she says, "I'd like you to come and preach in my village." And I said, "I believe I can do that." Now, I wish I had the faith of some great men of God, but the first thing that comes into my mind is they're trying to get me out to the village so they can do me in and get even for taking their husband. And so I talked with my men, and for safety's sake, we said, let's take a bunch of guys out there. And so we took 10 guys out there, and we went and preached in this lady's village, and come to find out, she really wanted us to come out there and preach to her village. We went out there, and I tell you, this village was so deep, I guarantee you that I would probably in my lifetime have never entered that village. I mean, we were driving back on footpaths. We were driving back where there was no paths to get to this lady's house. And we preached in her village, and we saw 3 men trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, would God allow you to go through that so that 3 men could get saved? Oh, yes, he would. The question is, are we willing to let him put us through those situations? Are we willing to let God use those situations in our life so that we can get the gospel to them? But I remember sitting in there in that prison, and I remember thinking to myself, if I could just hear something from the Almighty, if I just had my Bible, if I just had my Bible to read and get some encouragement. And that next morning, one of the men brought me some drinking water, and And I said, could you talk to the guards? Could you talk to the men there and just ask them, would it be okay if I could have my Bible? And we did some negotiating and did some talking to them. And finally they said, all right, we'll let you have your Bible. And I was able to sit in the prison the rest of the morning and read God's Word. And God's Word began to encourage me and comfort me in that time. But I want you to think about something this morning. Job had no Bible. Job had no Bible. And his desire was not just that he would hear from the Almighty, but he says, I wish that mine adversary had written a book. Now, again, if you go through the book of Job, you and I, we can read it later on, and we understand that the devil has been the one that is attacking him, and the devil has been the one taking his children. The devil's been the one that has been taking his finances and his livelihood. The devil's the one that's been doing all of this to him. But Job did not know that. And so Job is looking at God as his adversary. All through this, he's asking God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, what have I done that you have allowed this in my life? God, what is going on in my life? And he says, if my adversary, if the Almighty God had just written a book that I would have so that I would have an answer. I tell you today, God has given us that book. God has given us that book. Job in his life was looking for opportunities. He was looking for something that would help him. He was looking for something that would encourage him, and yet he had no source of encouragement. His friends were not encouraging him. He could not open the Bible as we can open the Bible and read the Psalms and read the New Testament and understand what's going on. He did not know what to do and what not to do. He did not have the Bible that had the doctrines of the Word of God. He did not have the Bible that would tell him what was right and wrong and what direction to go and what to do here and what to do there. He did not have a hope for the future. He didn't know what we know in the Bible. He did not know about the coming of Jesus Christ. He did not know about all of these things. He says, if he could just write a book for me. He said, surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. We live in a generation in a country where our homes are literally filled with Bibles. Filled with Bibles. I guarantee you probably each one of you in here probably have two or three yourself. And I go to a country of Uganda where people literally village after village after village have never even seen a Bible. And yet how flippantly we treat God's Word. And when we need those times of encouragement and we need those times of hope and when we need that time to understand what's right and what's wrong, instead of going to the Word of God, we go to other sources and we go to other men and we go to other places to try to solve our problem. When God said, listen, I've written a book for you. I've given you a book. I have given the prophets of God. These are the very words of God that these men have penned down. And you study the history of the Bible from the early times and how hundreds and hundreds and yea, millions of believers have died throughout the centuries just to give us this book. Yet I wonder if we had you stand up today, how many of you spent time in this book this morning? How many of you would stand up? Job didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. He thought God was against him. He thought God was his adversary. He had no encouragement. He had no hope. He had nothing. And he says, my desire is that I would hear from the Almighty. My desire is that he would write a book. I tell you, there's one thing that I've learned in my life, especially this last term that I've been in, is that, oh, that I would read God's Word and not just read God's Word so that I can try to get through it, but I want to read His Word and hear from the Almighty. That each and every day of my life, I hear from God. And as I read God's Word, I stop trying to fit myself into a Bible reading plan that I try to get through a certain amount. And so I try to rush through it because I've got a lot of other things to do. But I said, Lord, if you would just let me read your Word. And God, when you begin to speak to my heart and when you begin to show me things in my life, Lord, help me to have the sensitivity to your Holy Spirit that I would stop and listen to the Almighty God. When is the last time that you heard the Almighty God? When is the last time as you read His Word that you heard the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart and say, this is what I want for you today. This is what I want you to have today. Job had no Bible. He had nothing to turn to. He had nothing to read. He had nothing to open up and look for a source of encouragement. He had nothing to look into to find out what was right and wrong. He had no Bible, but I tell you today, every single one of us has one. And I believe as we go through this Thanksgiving season, I believe we ought to renew our gratitude for this holy book. Amen. And not leave it behind when you go on the holidays. Not leave it behind when you go home for the summer. But every day and every morning of your life that you will take this book that hundreds of thousands of people have given their blood and their sweat so that you and I could have a copy of it today. Oh, that we would take advantage of what we have. How many people around the world, not just in Uganda, but how many people around the world do not have a copy of what we have? They're just like Job. They have no Bible. I've been into villages and after village. They have no Bible. They have nothing to tell them what's right and wrong. They have nothing to give them encouragement. They have nothing to give them answers. They have no Bible. But you and I do. What are you doing with it? Does it sit on your dorm shelf and you just get it out when it's time for class? Or do you have a relationship? Notice what Job says. He says, surely if the adversary, if Almighty God would just give me a book, he said, I would take it upon my shoulder and I would bind it as a crown to me. He says, I would take that book and I would carry it with me everywhere that I go, and it would be a crown to me. It would be something valuable. It would be something precious. It would be something that I would not want to let go of. It would be something that I would look to constantly. He said it would be the most precious thing in my life. I tell you, this book that you have sitting on your lap in front of you ought to be the most precious thing that you have in your life. It's not something to sit on the shelf. It's not something to just use as a textbook. It ought to be your life. Some of you guys, I heard Brother Furso tell me that the other night about 150 of you stood up saying that you knew God had called you to be a missionary to some place, and I praise God for that, and I thank God for that. But let me tell you something. If you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not have a relationship with His book, you're not going to last on the mission field. Because you need this book. You need the encouragement of this book, because I'm telling you, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to sit down and you're going to say, what do I do? There's going to be times in your life where you're just looking for an answer, and sometimes you're not hearing from the Lord, and sometimes the prayers are not being answered, and sometimes the nationals that are there, they don't want you to be there. You're going to say, God, what do I do? I tell you, it's always good to be able to go to this book. This ought to be our heart. This ought to be our stay. This ought to be our motivation. This ought to be our source of strength. Job had no Bible and nothing to look to. And he says, oh, that the Almighty would write a book. I tell you, God did give us a book. And this book ought to be the center of your life. This book ought to be the strength of your life. This book ought to be the crown in your life, the most precious possession that you ever have ought to be this book.